book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. Let me read that for us. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Do you like to look at maps? I can spend hours looking at maps. I love maps. I used to collect maps from National Geographic magazines. When I was a freshman in college, I even thought about majoring in geography. Although, you know, the professor, so I took Geography 101, but you know, he made geography really boring, so I changed my major, history. But I love also about learning about different civilizations, you know, where people live, you know, their cultures. I'm still interested in geography and looking at maps. So let me start with one geography quiz. And I'm just going to give you a list of names of ancient cities and try to guess what they have in common. First, Tarsus, the city where Apostle Paul grew up in, is probably born there, grew up in Tarsus, as one. Another city, Ephesus, a major city in the province of Asia. It's famed for the Temple of Artemis, one of the wonders, about seven wonders of the world, ancient world. Another city, Antioch, where the disciples were first called Christians, where Paul and Barnabas taught. Other cities, they are all listed in the book of Revelation, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, what do all of these cities have in common? Where are they all located? Which present country?
Turkey.
Turkey, that's right, yeah, Turkey. That is the common thing about all these ancient cities. They're all within today's Turkey. And I've been to Turkey, and I've been to, well, at least one city that was mentioned in the book of Acts. And I went on a mission trip to Turkey back in 1995, and I got to see how large the country was. Of course, it's not big compared to the U.S., but compared to many other countries, Turkey is quite a large country. It's quite big. It's bigger than Germany, it's bigger than France, it's bigger than the state of Texas. The letter Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus is called Ephesians. The letter that Paul wrote to the churches in the province of Galatia, which is also in Turkey, is called Galatians. So there's many places in Turkey that are related to the Bible, the New Testament Bible. Now, though many churches were planted in that region, Asia Minor, Anatolia, during the time of Paul, if you go to Turkey now, sadly, it's predominantly a Muslim country. It's no longer a Christian place. Now, you need to take a look at the map. There's a map of the second journey of Apostle Paul. And we can see that huge peninsula, that's called Anatolia or Asia Minor. That's Turkey, the whole huge peninsula that is Turkey. In today's text, we see Paul and his companions traveling through the central Turkey. And they were traveling on foot, and this was part of Paul's second mission trip. On the first mission trip, Paul went from Antioch, in the region of Syria, there's an Antioch church. On his first trip, he went to Cyprus with Barnabas, And then they went to a few cities in the region of Galatia, and they came back. And after they got back, Paul and Barnabas said, why don't we go back and see how the churches we planted are doing? So they agreed to go on a second mission trip. But then Paul and Barnabas, as you know, got into an argument. Paul did not want to take Mark with him. Mark abandoned the mission team during the first mission trip. So Paul said, okay, let's not take this guy. We can't trust this guy anymore. But Barnabas, he wanted to take Mark. Let's give this guy a second chance. So they got into an argument, and they couldn't come to an agreement. So Paul takes Barnabas, and he travels to Cyprus. And Barnabas, as you know, is from, he grew up in that place. That's his island. So he goes to Cyprus, and you know, from that time, we don't hear anything more about Barnabas. From that point, all we hear is about Paul's journey. And Paul takes a guy named Silas, and he travels to Galatia, and he goes up to Troas, and then he goes to Greece. So that is Paul's second mission trip. When Paul and Silas came to a city called Lystra in Galatia. Galatia, you can see, is that green region, and Lystra is sort of in the southern part of Galatia. And that is a place where Paul meets a young man named Timothy. And Timothy's father was a Greek. Timothy's mother was a Jew. And Paul, he was well spoken of by all the churches in Lystra and in the town called Iconium. So Paul really liked this guy, and he wanted to take Timothy with him on his missionary journey. And Timothy said yes. So he joins them, and they travel together. Now from Iconium and Lystra, the natural route is to go through Laodicea and then end up in Ephesus, which is the capital city of the province of Asia. That is the natural route. And Paul probably thought that was where God wanted them to go. But then today's text says, the Spirit of the Lord prevented it. He blocked Paul from going in that direction. So Paul and his companions, they travel north. They travel north up through part of Galatia and into a region called Phrygia. And then it's not on the map, but the upper part of Asia is another smaller province called Mysia. And they get to the border of Mysia. And from the southern Galatian to Mysia is quite far. It's a couple of hundred miles. And if you're traveling on foot, people say it takes about 3 weeks to travel 200 miles. So it may have taken them quite a while to travel on foot to the border of Mysia. And when they got there, Paul and his companions thought, well, maybe God is wanting us to go to the region of Bithynia, which is on the southern shore of the Black Sea. But then the Spirit of the Lord once again told them not to go in that direction. So, one closed door and another closed door. And we tend to think, when God closes doors on us, it's not God's leading, but even closed doors are part of God's leading. And I wonder, as they were traveling through Galatia and Phrygia, I wonder what Timothy might have felt. He was kind of getting to know Paul and Silas. He was joining on this mission trip, but they weren't really sure what they were going. They were just kind of wondering and praying about their next destination. And he may have wondered, the mission trip is good, but what did I get myself into? He might have wondered why he was with them. So when God blocked Paul and his companions from going into the region of Bithynia, the only route left was to travel through Mysia, which is the upper part of Asia, and go to a port city called Troas. That was the only route left. So they traveled to Troas, and maybe Paul and his companions were sort of confused. Why are we here in Troas? From If you look at Tarsus, where Paul was born, it's a very long distance. They have never been this far away from their home, both for Timothy and Paul, who grew up in Asia Minor. Wow. Why are we here? You're probably wondering. But then they received an answer that very night. At Troas, Paul sees a vision, and he sees a man from Macedonia, which is part of Greece. And he says to Paul, "Please come over to Macedonia and help us." And Paul senses that is a direction from the Lord, and they go over. But they might have wondered, Greece, Europe, across the sea, another continent. Weeks of walking and wondering and praying has led to this. They thought, because they grew up in Asia Minor, they thought that God wanted to first evangelize Asia Minor first. And it's a huge area, it's a big task. But God had an even bigger task for them. They were to cross the sea, to go to Europe, to a different continent. And this truly would be groundbreaking, history-changing movement. And because Paul crossed over to Greece, the gospel went westward. And eventually, the whole Roman Empire was adopted Christianity as the state religion, and then the whole European continent was evangelized, and the Protestant Reformation came out of Europe. So Paul's crossing of the Aegean Sea into Europe changed the course of history. When Paul sailed for Macedonia, he was leaving a familiar territory. It was changing the boundary of his comfort zone. And as we know, the author of Acts is Luke. And in our text today, Luke describes Paul, Silas, and Timothy as they. But then, after Paul sees the vision at Troas, the pronoun changes to we. He now writes we, we moved to Greece. So why did it change from they to we? Most scholars think that this was the point where Luke joined Paul's mission team. Luke was a medical doctor. He probably knew Paul before. But this was the point where Luke joined Paul and his companions on his mission trip. So the pronoun changes from they we, because now Luke is part of that mission team. Though it may have been exciting to venture into an unknown area, Paul, Silas, and Timothy may have also been scared. At this point, God encourages them by providing a new co-worker to be on their team. So where is your Macedonia? Where is your mission field that is just beyond your comfort zone? Where is the place you suspect God is calling you? Most likely, your Macedonia will not be a place. You won't have to pack your suitcase and travel to a different part of the world. Our Macedonia can be found in relationships and opportunities that we already have. Also, it is likely that your Macedonia will change from time to time. Many Christians experience God's call as a series of transitions into a number of different but related ministries. And for the majority of Christians, our Macedonia lies outside of the church walls. Our Macedonia is a place or opportunity where we use our natural and spiritual gifts to serve those in need, to share the good news, and make disciples one at a time. When God places the Macedonia on our hearts, we need to take a risk. In the parable of the talents, Jesus tells us that the day will come when each of us will have to talk with Jesus about how we have lived, about what we did with the gifts, resources, and opportunities that God had given us. We have to explain whether we live as servants and stewards, or whether we live as our own masters. When we hear the call to go to Macedonia, did we choose to stay in Anatolia or go and obey the call? The parable is well known. The first servant, he receives 5 talents, and he uses 5 talents, and he multiplies it. He gains another 5 talents, and he presents them to the master when he returns. The second servant had received 2 talents, and he also put them to work, and he gained 2 more talents. And both the first and the second servants were commended by the master. Now the master did not say to the second servant, "Why did you not make 5 talents? God's rewards are based on the resources that God gave to us, not on the resources that we don't have. And then, of course, there's a third servant. He received 1 talent, but he does not take the risk. He does not do anything with the money. He just goes and he buries the money in the ground. And he returns that 1 talent to the master. And the servant probably thought that he deserved an applause, because despite everything that could possibly have gone wrong, at least I did not fail. He made sure of that. But the surprise comes next. The master gets angry. "Why didn't you at least put it in the bank so that I could have the interest from the talent?" Instead of applause, the servant gets punished. His 1 talent is given to the servant who had 5 talents, and he was thrown out into the darkness. Now, why was the master so angry? Not because the servant was a failure. Failure would have been fine. Failure means that some action had been taken. God is not disappointed when his servants fail. God is disappointed when God's servants do not step up, do not step out, do not take the risk to attempt to obey his call. The third servant played it safe. He gave all his options and decided that stepping up, sharing what he had, going to work on behalf of his master was too risky. It would cost too much. And he thought that he did his master a favor by not losing what had been given to him. But in the end, what did it cost this servant not to take a risk? It cost him everything. He lost everything. What did he miss by not stepping out? He missed changing his neighborhood. He missed having an impact on people. He missed the opportunity to change the world. Which one of us will take the risk to venture out into our Macedonians? If resources were unlimited, what would you like to do for the sake of Jesus Christ? And for our church, whom can we picture right now calling to us, "Please come and help us"? Where would be the Macedonia for our church today? Let's pray. Let's just ask God, help us discern where our Macedonia may be for our church and for each one of us as individuals. Let's ask God to lead us and to show us.